The recorder is on.
Max,
Matt Davidson.
Ready to go.
We're back here 1 year later. I guess it hasn't been a year.
No.
Almost.
Not even that.
Not even close.
4 months.
You're doing chapter 9.
Chapter 9. The dummy looked at Chris with a combination of fee, that's fear without the and diabolic, that's diabolicity without the itty. No, this means you can't go to the dentist. I can't go and you can't. Lindy Gimmett. Lunch is going to be set on fire, and probably by that, Mr. Madero, now known as the doll formerly under Chris's control, jackass. Cody and Alicia took turns giving their hormones a rest, one hormone at a time. As soon as he knew it, Chris moved from the silly plagiarism to cost accounting with a trunk full of tree. Am I talking through any dummy? Chris moved his hand and the dummy's head tilted. Yes! Yes, I'm alive! Wait! No, I'm not! Lindy declared with the might of the righty. Barky got loose and poured salt on Lindy's pies in an obvious ploy for attention, but Lindy saw that Barky was formally under the control of Chris. A pattern was emerging. I see this as one gigantic laboratory, right on, Cody the clueless asked. What's another word for passion annex? Alicia excited with the shyness of a cruise missile. Ignoring and listening at the same time, Lindy gave Mr. Madero to Chris. Take it, it's yours. You're a major jackass, but maybe you can control it. But Lindy, Chris began pulling out his hair. Lindy looked like a watch. Oh no, the party! It's right now! She moved her head without moving her neck. Bah, Lindy. Chris was turning into a lamb. He had just stopped lapping milk from a lapping bowl when Lindy left. Pretending that Miss Madero was a regular dummy, Chris closed his eyes, and with it, his cares. He saw dead trees and mucus-laden devils. He saw eyes that had been torn from their clavicles and salted by Barky. Chris knew what this meant, or at least he was inclined to believe he knew what this meant. But he also thought he knew what it meant that he liked tossing pies into the air. It was like a cake had walked into the middle of his life. And now he was feeling old and crumbled in the patio, nearly out of breath, no one on his side, and not much point living out the rest of his years here on Earth. The sun was late establishing itself, and the local cults were taking full advantage of that in this house. The color and the pallor of the house's skin resembled a dead chicken pouring its talons through the window and into the kitchen. Chris could hear his mom in the kitchen screaming in preparation to having been horrified. Barky let it drop that he was a she. In order to gulp in surprise, Chris had to push several pies into a toolbox and color his hair. Fucking little dog. I thought he was gay. And now he's hiding the herring and skinning the mahi-mahi. Although she was only a mirage, you could see Lindy sleepwalking the corridors with Palm Olive walking behind, periodically kicking her ass. With the sunrise now under Lindy's care, Chris was free to screw up other things, and the sun finally came out. But it came out and asked a question. Who wants skin cancer? Stupid, Lindy exclaimed. Palm Olive flat and kill the sun. Chris knew that when he was in charge of the sun, the only thing he did was try to harvest its talents. Okay, Palm Olive said. I'm just kidding, jackass. Now you kids listen to me and be entertained, Lindy continued, holding Palm Olive on her lap. They'll be entertained, won't they, Palm Olive? You know it! Biatch! Pox and all you detestable bastards, Palm Olive declared in a voice that sounded like Lindy with a turtle in her throat. Chris kissed the hiss of the unemployed stockbroker. I'm content having one good idea in my life, he said, treating it reality like it had been burned beyond recognition. If you sang a duet with Palm Olive, you had two good ideas. And afterwards, Palm Olive will bail on you. What a sensation! Lindy was all peace and love. You fucking exaggerated deli god! Chris thought with his good arm. I can't envy what I don't label and put in jars. Everything you have is filed under talk to the palm, Lindy continued. You get it, don't you, Palm Olive? I get everything, but I don't take it, label it, and stick it in a jar, the talking dummy hissed. Where'd you get such an obsessive compulsive piece of crap, brother? Would you please watch your manners? Lindy's gonna lose her $20, Chris said, patenting the mule molecule for desiring her patent leather shoe. 25, Lindy corrected. Amy's mom said she'd give me 5 today and 20 tomorrow, and she'd have a special project for me. Hey, wait a minute. What's up with that? Do you know Mrs. Evans? The woman that always played with my hair and telling me to touch her leopard skin pants? She had a special project, just like Amy's mom. I'm going to ask her if she really wants me to entertain her at a party or if she just wants me to pet her pants. Wait, she offered me $50. I'm going over there right now. Oh, boy, $50, Chris murmured more vainly than lackadaisically. 40 for me and then 10 for you, Palm Olive hissed at Lindy. Hey, I'm the brains behind this dark and sensual business, Lindy said. I'm telling Mommy. What has gotten into you, the day of all the days? Great, just when I get to first base with a girl, her mom turns out to be her own personal jihad, Chris replies, segueing to Lindy, who is in the house. You know, maybe if I made a pass at Mr. Madero, I could put my hand in his ass instead of in. Alicia and Cody know about this kind of thing. And then afterwards, Mom and I will make Mentos commercials. Mean, and with his colitis acting up, Barky stopped acting like a fussy poodle and started acting like a terrier with a bad case of tumbling dog. Anyone give me 50 quid for Barky? Lindy grinned. I'll tell you what you can have, Chris, detailing 12 snails with outstanding warrants. You can suck my big algorithm. Lindy almost had a case of tumbling dog. Does your algorithm taste good? Yes, it tastes just like Mrs. Berman and Beethoven's Ninth. Miss Berman was their music teacher and was also on board the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. Can you say something a little more emotionally disturbing? Miss Berman has been with Mr. Madero and me at the same time, and she wasn't giving us oboe lessons. Well, she did show us what she could do with an oboe, but she told us not to tell. Chris talking to his sister. Then he tried spinning it back up. You two played hide the Fritos with Mrs. Berman instead of learning the oboe. Something like that. Actually, I took it from behind while Mr. Madero was in front. Chris is such a fan of freaking out his sister, he thought of telling her what they did in the cello, but poor Lindy looked like a tumbling dog with no dice. Lindy tried to breathe and doubled over. Great, I can taste breakfast again, she said, disciplining her stomach in the process. These fucking dummies are so perverse, it's painful. During dinner, no one talked about anything except Lindy's performance at Amy's birthday party. Lindy and his pal blabbed until everyone grew tired of listening. Chris spoke into the blabbing, but failed around miserably until he finally self-ejected. The principal thinks you're strange, and I'm not sure he's wrong, Miss Powell continued, serving up a copious heap of servility. I can't believe you like ventriloquism, Lindy, but at least you're not having sex with your music teacher on a cello. Besides, I think that takes talent. Lindy was crushed like a radish. There was no reason for Miss Powell to be hissing at her like a cobra on helium. I went to the school library, and there's a ventriloquist outside busking for sugar snacks, and they said. That was comedy in itself, and he's playing the cello, come to think of it. She looked right at Chris. There are other things you can do with the cello, but I guess I'm just old-fashioned. Smile when you say shit like that to your brother, Miss Powell said as she ran her hands up and down Chris. Why don't you run along while Chris and I talk music? I love music, Chris replied, and got kicked in the shin by his mom. In the ensuing silence, Mr. Powell called long distance and asked to talk to God. Lindy excited in the knowledge that she could party with Palmolive. Chris asked if he could leave with her because he and Mr. Madero had a special concert to go to with the music teacher. Dad had promised that Mr. Madero could use his Viagra for the concert. After watching some scintillating but disturbing videos with their mom, the two siblings ran screaming from the house. It was 12:30 a.m. Chris prayed to the moon. Lindy prayed to entropy. The two looked pretty silly, kneeling in the moonlight and calling out to their dummies. That and the pies had just started flying. Oh no, Lindy gripped, tapping 12 lab rats on their pink ears. It was a warm night and a miserable night, and they were talking out into it like labeled out dummies like otters. Pardon me. But now Palma was so tired that she had to sit down to urinate. She had taken off her shoes and hidden lizards in them. She took out a banjo and strummed on it tersely, and strapping on a banana in her brazenness, began to... Look, Chris sounded like a ringtail monkey. But damn, his sister didn't turn and look in horror. Mr. Madero, he... Chris's voice sat down, but his bowels gave out a gargantuan roar. Mr. Madero was buck naked on the top of palm oil. He had his wooden fingers all over her plasticine body, and he was coming with a fierceness reserved for erotic asphyxiates.
Ah,
word. A tragedy.
Doc Davidson. Thank you.